and Budge for Harvey Norman, Port Macquarie on Hit.
Get up with this Cass and Budge.
Yes. Happy Tuesday, everybody. We have made it to Tuesday and there is a huge show in store for you. I don't know about anyone else, but if you're up with me at the moment, 6:06, have you had your coffee? I haven't for one. It is Cass without the Bodge for the rest of this week. He'll be back next week, but we've got a big show that we'll have to catch him up on. I mean, firstly, there was a huge sensational, well, I'm scared if it's true or not, headline about koalas. And of course, in the mid north coast, we've got the Port Macquarie Koala Hospital and many others, but I got in contact with them because I volunteer there. So we've got Shane coming on in about 10 minutes, I believe. So we'll have her coming on. She's the clinical director to discuss how the koalas are going in our habitat and some new updates on that. And also, after 6:40, we've got Jess coming on from MasterChef. Now, if you're a MasterChef fiend, you'll know she was eliminated last night. Spoiler. Hopefully everyone's seen that one. But yeah, so we're going to ask her all the questions coming up very shortly.
Cass and Budge on the Mid-North Coast here.
Hit FM this morning. Now, we are chatting all things koalas. I saw a pretty crazy headline the other day that research suggests that koalas are now functionally extinct in the wild. So I thought I'd get on the big guns. I needed to get on the clinical director, Shane, from the Port Macquarie Koala Hospital. Good morning to you. How are you going?
Morning to you.
Hey, what does a headline like this suggest to you? Do you think it's a little bit dramatic, or do you think, hang on, the koalas are in trouble?
It is a little bit dramatic, and it could be something we're saying in 10 years' time, but yeah. A bit dramatic for the moment, yeah.
Right, so when they say functionally extinct, does that just mean they can't, like, reproduce, or, you know, there's going to be no, I guess, pregnant koalas? Is that what they mean?
It means that a number's so low that it's going to be hard-pressed to find enough animals that they will find each other for mating. You know, we'll have to do blind date for koalas, so, yeah.
Do you think that, although blind date in koalas could be kind of funny to think about, do you think that that is actually something that could be in the near future?
Probably not the near future. We're looking at the Koala Hospital. We've got to get a scientific permit for it, but we were looking to for breeding koalas for release to the wild because we have knowledge of all the genetic stock, and that's something potential. But the problem is, you know, we can breed like crazy, but you've got to have somewhere to put them. So it's removal of habitat. It's the loss of habitat that drives the entire issue with koalas across this country.
Which state in Australia would you say that is the most has the most concerning amount of koalas that are having loss of habitat or that are quite sick or that just there aren't enough at the moment?
Southeast Queensland are probably the worst because there's a huge amount of development going on, followed by us, of course, New South Wales and Queensland. We're the ones in the most dire straits. West of the mountain ranges, they're in big trouble out west.
Oh, really?
And that's due to the drought and climate change, increasing temperatures. Koalas are dropping like flies.
What states are doing well? So I'm guessing Victoria?
Well, I don't think there's any states doing well, but Victoria and South Australia have reasonable numbers, but they're also heading up the same track that removal of habitat is going to cause a major issue. They have so much agricultural land where koalas once were, but in Western Victoria there's a number of blue gum plantations which is housing quite a few koalas, and there's a major issues going on there with harvesting process and koalas getting killed. So it's all not looking good down there either, but there are more koalas in those two states than there are up here.
Obviously, we know that the koalas are in trouble. They're not extinct yet. They're not functionally extinct. But what can we classify them as?
In big trouble. Let's just call them in big trouble.
In big trouble. Let's call them in big trouble. Look, we're not happy with that. If anyone does want to help in any way, you can sponsor a koala, you can become a volunteer, but also, what can you do in everyday life?
Oh, look, wherever you are in the country, if you spot an unwell koala or any unwell species of wildlife for that matter, you contact your nearest wildlife group. If you don't know who that is, if you go to your nearest vet, they'll know. And there are now apps available. But for the average Joe out there, the most important thing they can do is conserve their habitat. Keep your trees. And you might just pull out one tree and think, oh, it's only one tree. Doesn't matter. But then Fred down the road pulls out one tree. Mm. And by that time, it's chip, 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 and it's death by a thousand cuts as everybody's pulling out trees left, right and centre. And every single tree has a value. And replant as much as possible.
I know that the Koala Hospital is actually doing a bit of that as well.
25,000 trees we've just recently sent out to the general public.
Anyone in the Port Macquarie-Hastings area or on the Mid-North Coast who don't mind a drive, what can people sponsor a koala? What else can you do?
They can come here and we have a free guided tour every afternoon, or they can come during the day and they can come and learn about what's going on, what's happening with our koalas out there in koala land.
Yeah, exactly right. And look, I'm happy that we settled it. They are actually in big trouble. There's simple steps that we can take, which is that we don't disturb the habitat too much, being aware and educated.
You know, when you're driving out anywhere, and if you see a koala sign, that means slow down. And if you're going anywhere where there's vegetation, slow down and look on the edges of the roads. You know, something could suddenly dart out. And if you do hit something, please contact us. You know, we're not going to get cranky with you. We just want to get the koala in here and get it treated.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Shane. We really do appreciate it and appreciate the work that you guys do at the Koala Hospital.
No worries. Thank you.
Get up with Cass and Bodge.
On the Mid-North Coast.
You're on Hit this morning, Cass and Bodge, for Harvey Norman, Port Macquarie. Now, if you're like me and you are suffering, absolutely just suffering from yesterday, this isn't spoilers. I'm not giving away spoilers to Game of Thrones. What I am doing is enlightening you or your family or your friends who have been affected or touched in just a way that now you just don't know how to cope, how to move on, how to, yeah, just do your everyday life. Well, it's okay because Game of Thrones, or there's actually a helpline now that's been launched to help the stressed fans cope with the end of the series. Now, this isn't saying that it's a bad end or a good end or otherwise. The end. It's the end. Yesterday was the last ever episode to air for Game of Thrones as we know it. Season 8, Episode 6. That's it. Dunskies. And people in the UK in particular have not been coping. And I'm like, yeah, well, I haven't been coping either. But in the UK, basically, distraught fans can actually call a service with professional people on the line for, well, in Australian dollars, it's $73 an hour. $73 an hour if you have been left with a hole in your heart after the Seven Kingdoms. Well, it's as big as the Seven Kingdoms, actually. If you've been left with a hole that big that you don't know what to do, you can call these counsellors. And it's been offered to, yeah, anyone in the UK. But I'm also like, well, if people in the UK can talk through their pain, what about us? Should we bring it to Oz? International calls are pretty expensive. I don't know. I might have to sign a petition, create a petition or something like that, because I feel like you can't really talk to anyone who hasn't seen the last episode. You can't talk to people because you don't want to do spoilers. Well, you need an outsider. I need some counselling after yesterday.
Ladies and gentlemen, get up with
Cass and Budge on the Mid-North Coast Hit.
Now, we're chatting all things MasterChef this morning. Okay, first things first, I'm very excited because we've got Jess Hall on the line. Good morning, Jess. How you going?
Morning, Cass. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm going well. I had my fingers and toes and everything I possibly could have crossed last night. You got eliminated from MasterChef last night, but you did not go down without a fight. Tell us again your mantra. What was your mantra?
I think it was calm, capable and confident.
Yes, I think that honestly everyone should take a little bit of that on, because you say, yeah, I'm going to remain calm, but when that is actually happening in a pressure test, do you actually remain calm? I feel like it's a lot easier said than done.
Do you know what? I really turned a point that day, turned a corner. I kept saying it to myself, and I really did feel calm, and I felt really confident in that cook, and I was really out of my element with a technical dessert challenge, but it worked, and it's a shame that it didn't get me through. Bit of bad luck there, but
yes.
No, I was definitely calm.
So tell us again. So you had the legendary Claire Smith, and if you don't know who Claire is, she's the chef from the UK who did Meghan and Harry's wedding meals. Is that right?
Yes. Oh, she is incredible. She is such a boss. She 3 Michelin stars for Gordon Ramsay for 10 years. She's got her own restaurant now with 2 Michelin stars.
Wow.
Incredible woman.
Okay, so what was that dessert called? Like, I can't even pronounce it.
So it was a pear and lemon verbena vacheron.
Okay. No wonder, like, you struggled with that one. Did you, when you were actually cooking that, because I saw you guys on TV, of course, looking at a recipe. Now, I don't blame you because I don't know how you could do that without doing that. Did you have time to read over the recipe before, or did you just have to get stuck into it and read it as you were going?
I think everyone goes into a pressure test with a different strategy. I definitely took the strategy of reading the whole, or as much of the recipe as I could, just getting together all the different elements that I had to had to make. And I know Leah just read a few steps at a time, and I'm not sure what Derek did, but I think everyone has to go into it and make that decision for themselves, because it can make or break you. Every minute counts.
Oh, my God, yeah. But how long before you found out, okay, this is what's happening, Claire's walked in, the legendary chef, and then to start time, how long would that time frame be?
Oh, no, it happened straight away.
Oh, no.
It's really like, here's this incredible dessert and go.
Oh, my God. So in part of your, 4 hours, you also had to read that essay of a recipe.
Yeah. Oh, everyone's been asking me, did you get breaks? No, it was 4 hours straight, nonstop.
Oh, my God.
You've got to read it and get every element ready to take into the plating up as well. So you have to do this mental checklist to make sure you've got everything ready to go, because if you leave anything off and it's not there, then unfortunately you don't get to plate it up.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, things happen. But look, I just want to know, did you have a highlighter or something? Because I would need a highlighter with that recipe.
Oh, no, you don't get a highlighter, but I had a pen.
And nice. At least you had something.
I've actually got the copy of that exact recipe. I got to take it home with me, and Claire signed it and wrote a lovely message to me. But there is cream and dessert stains all over it.
Oh, I can just imagine. Hey, you guys all live in one house, don't you, while you're actually competing in MasterChef?
We do, yeah.
Tell me, what's that like? Is there anyone, not that you know, is there a snake? Like, it's MasterChef. It's not Gossip Girl. That's not what I'm asking. But can it get, like, a little bit challenging, or do you need your space, or is it kind of good to be in the zone?
You know what? I think we all went into it, we all really liked one another, but I think we were waiting for cracks to form, or, you know, it's really difficult when you take 24 people, not just from different races, but religions and faiths and genders and family units, and we were waiting for cracks to show. But I can honestly say that this season we all support and love one another. I know it's really cheesy, but we really are a close-knit family and friends for life. So there was no drama.
That's so good. Oh, my God, I hate drama. It gives me such high stress. So in terms of the judges then, do you reckon they, like, low-key have favourites?
Oh, no, I don't think they have favourites, but, you know, one of my biggest regrets is because I didn't last longer, I didn't get to know them as well as I would have liked to. There's 24 of us, and you've only got a certain amount of time each day, but I will say that Matt always just went above and beyond in giving feedback to everyone individually. And,
oh, that's so nice to hear.
Yeah, really, really great guy. I mean, all the judges are great, but Matt's definitely my favourite.
Oh, I mean, so, you know how people say, like, yeah, who's your favourite kid? Oh, I don't have a favourite kid. Well, everyone has a favourite in some aspect, okay? I can say that. Hey, even with pets, I don't know, I have a bird and a dog, and I think I like my dog more. Oh, my God, does that mean? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that's all right.
Hey, Jess, bloody hard dessert that you had to do last night. You went out with a fight, and congratulations on honestly getting into MasterChef and making it that far.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm really proud.
Yes, you should be. All right, thanks so much, Jess, and good luck. What can we see from you next?
So I've just been working in some kitchens at the moment in Sydney, and I'm working on my butter company, the Well Fed Company, which I'm going to launch at Sydney markets soon.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, so it's called the Well Fed Company.
That's it. And just follow me on Instagram to stay up to date with how that's coming along.
Amazing stuff. All right. Enjoy. Thanks, Jess.
Thank you so much, Cass. Have a great day.
You too.
Ladies and gentlemen, get up with...
Are we ready?
Cass and Botch.
On the Mid-North Coast Hit.
Let's go!
Trending now.
At hits.com.au.
And Mr. Dean McCarthy joining us live from Hollywood. Morning, Dean.
Good morning, my Cassis. Hello, everyone.
Hello. All right, Hollywood is pumping because you have just sent me an email being like, shook. What has happened that's dumb with Drake? Because a lot of people might say other things, but I love Drake. What's going on?
Yeah, no, I love Drake as well. So here's what happened, right? This is so random. This is a random story for the day. So you can buy Drake's school journal. Okay, someone got their hand on Drake's journal and they're now selling it, right? So it's his high school journal. So it's got like, you know, I don't know, maybe he talks about who he's dating and things like that. Just like regular journal stuff. It's for sale for $35,000.
Oh my God.
I don't know if it's worth that. It'd be different if it was like, you know, his first songs that he ever wrote or, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Something a little different. Yeah, like imagine what he was writing in that. Like, I don't think he was going to be like, I'm going to do some hit songs. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I think it just would be who he's into or who he, like, threw gum at or who he doesn't like. Who cares now?
Yeah, I know. I just really don't know. It's like he's just random school journals worth $35,000. But it's for sale. You know, I love talking about these random celebrity artifacts or memorabilia that's so ridiculously overpriced. I always love those stories. So there you go. Today, it's Drake.
Today, it's Drake. Imagine what it'll be worth in like 50 years. Blimey. Hey, also, right. Kate Middleton, like, of course, the royal family are always in the headlines at the moment, especially with the birth of Archie Harrison. But what's happened with Kate?
This is so bizarre. Kate's brother has tried to cash in on the birth of Archie. So you may or may not know this, but Kate's family own a company. It's kind of like a, they make like ribbons and like all celebration stuff, like, you know, like balloons and like these party popper things. And they're very wealthy. It's like worth like $50 million or something. Kate is not from like some poor family. Anyway, her brother did like a group email to all of their database saying, celebrate Archie's birthday with all of these poppers and have your own Archie birthday party. So trying to cash in on his own nephew, which is smart, really, but
look, it is smart, but you know how, like, you know, if you've got an uncle who's a baker and he might do the cake, or you've got this, you got that, they'll say, oh, well, it's my own nephew, it's my own blood, I'm going to do it for free. And look, Kate Middleton is so wealthy and they're not doing it for free?
Yeah, I know. You'd think so, right? My God.
Sometimes freebies honestly just taste better. And in this case, I feel like the freebies would just look better. But now they're not free. I would be salty if I was Harry.
Same. 100%.
Dean, thank you so much for bringing us the latest Hollywood goss. You have a brilliant day.
Bye, Cass. Bye,
See
guys.
Yeah, bye-bye. Get up with Cass and Butch on the Mid-North Coast Hit. Mums, listen up. Domestic goddesses, listen up. Hubbies who think they're... partner, I was going to say, who think their mum is a domestic goddess. You got to listen up right now. I'm on the search. I'm on the hunt for someone on the Mid-North Coast. I can tell you her name is Madeline and she is a domestic goddess. Now, she recently had a little baby called Xavier and it was a 43-hour labor and she felt like she'd survived some kind of like baby war or something like that. I can't relate because I haven't had a baby, but that birth scares me anyway, but a 43-hour labor, I'm sorry, that gives me a certain amount of stress that I don't even want to talk about. The baby weighed 3.9 kilos, and this mum had time to fill out the birth certificate. Madeline felt as though she deserves an extra acknowledgement. Now, she has two other bubs, I believe, as well, and she is a stay-at-home mum, but she's a mum of three, and she does all the house duties and everything like that. And on the birth certificate, under where it says occupation, instead of saying stay-at-home mum, or instead of saying mum of three, or just a mum or, you know, anything like that, she's put domestic goddess. I don't know if that's legal. I don't know how she got away with this one. I don't know how you can do that. I'm, like, in awe. Nice work, Madeline. Props to you. She was like, I think she said that after the birth, she was kind of like, did I just actually do that? She was in a little bit of shock. Did I put that on my child's birth certificate? She's uploaded it to social media and it's gone viral. I can find the viral photo, but I can't actually find her. So if you're listening, Madeline, give me a call. 13, 12, 16. If you know who I'm talking about, a mum called Maddie and she's just had a new bub, Xavier, send me a message on Facebook, or I just want to hear about her journey and also about her domestic goddess times, because I feel like we can all learn from her. We can all learn some tips. And I'm on a hunt for you, Maddie, so give me a call. She is now a certified domestic goddess. I mean, a lot of people aspire to that. And a lot of people are working mums, have their own careers. But a lot of if I cook spaghetti bolognese and I go over to my girlfriend's house and we're all sitting there together having a girls' night, they're like, oh, Cass, you're a domestic goddess. Everyone wants to be one at some point in the day. So come on now, give me a call, Maddie. And also, I think my mum deserves the title of putting a child that's the equivalent of like three children through. So she needs a new certificate. My mum needs a new certificate. I just want to know if she's done this and someone's called up and said, look, you actually can't put that in your as your occupation. But I feel like why not have a bit of fun with it? Your kid's going to have that forever. You're going to have that forever. Why wouldn't you want to be a certified domestic goddess? Oh,
get up with Cass and Bodge on the Mid-North Coast Hit.
We're on Hit this morning with Cass and Bodge for Harvey Norman, Port Macquarie, and a side of Lee Jolo. He's just walked into the studio. Morning, Lee.
Good morning. A side of Lee Jolo. That's a different
little
different
slice.
One. I like it. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that every morning.
There you go. Well, you learn something new every day. Lee, tell me the goss. You're like our Hollywood correspondent, but you know what? You're the Mid-North Coast correspondent right now, I hear that there is some huge news.
Yeah, well, someone is $1.3 million better off. They've won. Oh, I know.
Cass is
shaking her head.
I'm shaking my head because I'm just thinking, if you won $1.3 million, what would you do? The lines are open 13, 12, 16, if you know what you would do, because I'm just trying to fathom that and get it around my head. So is this person obviously anonymous?
Yeah, he's opted to remain anonymous. It's a guy that we know that much. He picked up the ticket on Saturday, $1.3 million richer after that. Actually came from Clifton News Agency in Port Macquarie, so a local news agent as well. So it's all good stories there, but he's now planning on spending a bit of that money on his family, and he's also hoping to motorhome around Australia.
Oh,
so
is he?
It'll be good for him, but I'm pretty jealous.
Did he say, like, oh, I might, you know, give Cass from Hit FM a little bit, or he didn't say that, did he, Lee?
I didn't see that in the release, but look,
damn,
I'm sure we could
weird.
Put it to him if we do some detective work and find out who it is. Maybe that's why he's decided to remain anonymous.
So then I don't pester him. But Lee, what would you do if you won $1.3 million?
Look, I've already put a lot of thought into this.
What are you doing, Lee? Why aren't you doing your bulletin? I'm thinking about what I'd do if I'd win.
Exactly. Yeah, so $1.3 million, it's not enough to retire on for someone of our age. So I'd probably keep working and then work out what I would do in the future, because I'm not going to stay doing this job forever. If I've got $1.3 million in the bank account, maybe I'd take a part-time job somewhere. I don't know. Just do a bit of work on the side, but chill a lot more than what I'm doing at the moment. What about you?
I'm here to say if I won $1.3 million straight up, I would be handing in my 2 weeks' notice and I would be jet-setting. I would go on a trip around the world, but I would put a little bit of money, well, that's a lot of money in general. I reckon I'd put like half into savings and give like a quarter to my fam.
Nice.
Would I give half? Yeah, probs. I don't care.
I don't know.
That's a lot of money.
Surely you want to buy a house or something though.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Yeah, I'll buy a house.
You've got to buy a decent house.
I'll buy a house.
Buy a car.
I'll buy a secondhand house if they exist, because I would rather jet set. I think I'd rather go worldwide. But look, you enter the lotto, or obviously gamble responsibly. You do enter the lotto, or you get a scratchy, or you whatever. Yep. You don't think you're going to win that. This guy would have just absolutely lost it. Okay, wait, one more question.
Yeah.
If you were sitting, like you were standing at a news agency or something like that, and you won it, what do you do?
What do you do?
You jump? Do you scream?
You definitely jump and you shout, but I mean, you're in the public, so you don't want to let too many people know what's going on.
That's what I mean. I reckon I'd just be like, I'm having a baby or something like that to freak out. Just because then, like, you know, no one's going to take my money or take my ticket, but you can scream or shout, give me a taxi, you know, something like that. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's just the first thing that
100%
came to my mind.
You couldn't contain yourself.
All right, so this guy is on the Mid-North Coast.
Yeah.
He's in Port. He went to the Port Macquarie News Agency.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He picked it up there. Won on Saturday. Says it's a dream of his to have won the Tats Lotto, and he has done that. What a way to win!
Dreams do come true, right?
Get up with Cass and Budge on the Mid North Coast Hit.
And just before we were chatting with Lee Jolo, our lovely news reader, and he was saying that a man on the Mid-North Coast is $1.3 million richer after winning a lotto ticket on the weekend. And I've got Chris from Port Macquarie on the line. Good morning to you, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm going well. And look, what would you spend $1.3 million on if you won?
Well, I know it's funny, but I lost Dad, and Mum and Dad have been married for 60 years, and she's in the war widows. And, you know, the people down at Laurieton, they meet at the LCR, and I'd take her and eight of her friends. There's only 8 out of 20 left now.
Oh, wow.
Take them on a cruise to New Zealand. And I think they're old enough to still walk around a little bit, but that would be so beautiful to give someone that, you know, has given so much to everyone else. I think that would be so beautiful. And I'd go down and buy fish and chips and have on the beach.
Yeah. Oh, well, to be honest, you are one of the most selfless ladies I've spoken to. Lee and I sounding like selfish people before talking about we'd go on holidays and...
Oh, I'd go too, but I wouldn't take Mum round the world.
Mum...
They can just go to New Zealand.
New Zealand is beautiful. I think it's literally our neighbour and it's just so pristine. And I've actually was lucky enough to go to New Zealand. And when I went there, you breathe in the air and I don't know what it is, but you feel healthier. You feel great there. So what was your mum's name?
Joan.
Joan. So you take Joan and 8 of her friends over to New Zealand on a cruise. That sounds lovely. And hopefully you'd go as well, right?
Oh, that would be beautiful. Just to make sure they got their walkers online.
Well, Chris, I wish that I could give you the walkers as well. I wish I could give you 1.3, but I can't. But what I can give you is a new tailor.
Having a chat with you made me happy today.
Oh, Chris, thank you. Likewise, I really do appreciate calling. You can call anytime.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye for now.
Bye, and good luck in the lotto, everybody.
Now at hits.com.au.
All righty, trending. First things first, the NRL champ who has also won a Dally M times two. He's a winner of those. Cooper Cronk is hanging up the boots. I'm, for one, very sad. I'm a Cooper Cronk fan. After 16 seasons and 357 NRL games across the Melbourne Storm and Sydney Roosters, Cooper Cronk has announced he'll be hanging up the boots. And he's only 35 years old, but the halfback has announced his retirement. He announced it yesterday at the Sydney Cricket Ground. But basically, I'm pretty sad because he also played for the Queensland Maroons in Origin. And I just think he's an excellent player. You don't really hear too much going wrong with Cooper Cronk. So that is a loss to the NRL, in my opinion. But, you know, he's 35, although that's pretty young in rugby terms. He's kind of getting on there. So that's it. You've heard it here first. But the thing that actually kind of makes me lull a little bit is he said he won't coach because, of course, all the journos who are down there were asking him, what's next, Cooper? What are you going to do? He goes, I won't coach because a lot of them either go commentate or they coach or something or other. He said, if I'm standing here at 50 years of age and I've got a coach's microphone, you've got my permission to slap me around the head a little bit. So his words, not mine. That's a little bit of a lull. Also, Reese Witherspoon went on Ellen DeGeneres, and I feel like Ellen DeGeneres is like my favorite person lately. She always is. I absolutely love Ellen. Reese Witherspoon went on and she dished some goss on Big Little Lies. Now, if you haven't seen Big Little Lies, it's an awesome series. They've only done one season. The second one's coming out very shortly. And she kind of says whether they're going to do a third season. But I'll give you a little snippet of what she is talking about with Ellen around Meryl Streep. Now, Meryl Streep's come on to the show. We haven't seen her appear in the first season yet, but there is a little bit of a spoiler, but it's already been there and done that. So if you're a major Big Little Lies fan, you haven't seen it, turn me off now.
So wait, when does the new season start? We're talking
June
early.
June 9th.
June 9th.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Oh, my God.
I'm so excited.
You guys, wait until you see. I watched the first one last night. It is so good. We have waited 2 years for this, right?
I know. It's been a while.
And Meryl Streep is in it. And Meryl Streep is unbelievable.
Ah, she's so spooky and she is mad.
Oh, man.
She is so mad. So she actually...
But nice about it.
Sort of.
Well, she's
yes.
nice about being...
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Maybe I know where it's going.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere good.
Yeah.
But she plays the mother of Alexander Skarsgård, who, as we know, spoiler alert, died in the first season. So she's back and she does not believe these women that it was an accident. And she's like, I need the truth.
It is so good. I mean, I can't wait. So Meryl, she just looks, everything about her is different all the time.
I know. She just transforms. She's incredible. She really Yeah, and she's so game for everything. She just wanted to go out to dinner and hang out with us and tell us all her stories, which was really fun.
Okay, I'm sorry about that because I would want to go out to dinner and tell stories with Meryl. It's good to know that although that they hate each other in this season, that they all hang out outside of that. And also, Ellen went on to ask Reese whether or not Legally Blonde 3 is in the talks, and it's official. It is definitely in the talks. And you know how Reese is kind of gullible. She's such a nice girl, such a nice lady. She basically gave away that Legally Blonde 3 is coming out. If you are a fan, I'm a fan. Get ready, blondes. Okay, that is what is trending.
Get up with Cass and Butch on the Mid North Coast Hit. That's about
that. Hit FM's 5 in 10 for Newtons. The only name for shutters, blinds and awnings. Yeah, let's go, go.
Oh my goodness. $860 in the 5 in 10 today. We've got Steve out of Port Macquarie on the line. Morning, Steve.
Morning, Cass. How are you?
I'm going well. How are you feeling with this $860 that's up for grabs?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Look, I hope I can give it to you. You got 10 seconds and I need 5 answers from you, okay?
Yep, certainly.
Okay. Steve from Port Macquarie, can you please name for me 5 of the 7 kingdoms in Game of Thrones? Go!
Oh, no, I've got nothing. I have never watched this.
Steve! Oh, my goodness!
I've got nothing.
Oh, no! I'm sorry. I've got to wait till the time that... There we go. Oh, I hate that ending, especially when we're not getting it. Damn it. I'm sorry about that, Steve. Hey, you've never watched it?
Not one show, no. I've been told I should, but I just never have.
Okay, well, can you do me a favour and just start from season one? Take your time. It's going to take you at least 4 episodes to get into it, because that's what it took me, so I'm just guessing we're the same. And and you will really like it after that, truly.
Yeah, no worries, I will. I need to. Yeah.
I'm like punishing you now. I'm like, you know what, Steve, I've had enough. I'm going to get hate mail. People are going to be like, I knew that answer. But hey, Steve, You're not walking away empty-handed. I'm going to give you a $100 gift voucher to Trady Undies. So there's the new baby range, there's the women's range, and there's also the blokes range. So you've got $100 to spend there.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
And there are new Trady Baby Zipters. They're made tiny tough as well. So I don't know if you've got any babies in the fam, but...
No, they're all grown up now.
No, not now. All right, no worries. Well, I mean, you never know. Steve, stay on the line for me and I'll grab your details, all right?
No worries, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, so I really honestly thought that one was going to go off. I've actually got the armpit sweats happening right now. Look, $870 up for grabs tomorrow. This is all thanks to Newtons, the only name for shutters, blinds and awnings.
Get up with Cass and Butch on the Mid North Coast Hit.